Hi, this week the question is, what are four vital questions everyone must ask? The first two vital questions were asked by Jesus himself. In Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about these two questions. The first question is, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Have you ever thought about this? Suppose for a moment that you became the richest, most powerful person in the entire world. You would be able to do anything and everything you wanted to do. You could buy anything you wanted. You could go anywhere at any time, and everyone around you would be doing everything they could possibly do to please you. If this were possible, how long could this last? Well, maybe 50 or 60 years. If you're 30 years old right now, and it lasted 60 years, you'd be 90 years old, and then you would die. And what then? If you gained the whole world, but lost your soul, what would you have gained? Eternity in the next life is a lot longer than 60 years on the earth. So the answer to this first question then is this. It doesn't profit a man at all to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. A man's soul is the only thing he really owns. Everything else can be taken away. Eventually, when a man dies, he leaves everything behind except his own soul. The second question Jesus asked was, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The answer to this question is, there is nothing that a man can give in exchange for his soul. There's a judgment day coming. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." When you stand before God in the judgment, what will you offer him in exchange for your soul? You won't have any money. If you did, do you honestly think that God is interested in money? Could you say, "God, I'll give you $1 billion for my soul"? Do you think that would work? Listen, the Lord is teaching us in Matthew 16, verse 26, that we must look to the future. We must think ahead. Don't live your life just thinking about this earth and the present moment. Prepare for judgment and for eternity by seeking after God and doing His will. Matthew 7, verse 21. We come now to the third most vital question. This question was asked by a prison warden in the Bible. In Acts 16, verse 30, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" This question assumes that salvation requires doing something. A man cannot earn his salvation because it's a free gift from God, according to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. However, even free gifts require doing something in order to receive the gift. If a friend called you up, for example, and said, "Come over to my house and I have a free gift to give to you," well, you'd have to do many things to receive that free gift. You'd have to get dressed, get in a car, drive over to that house, walk up to the door, ring the doorbell. When your friend brought your gift to you, you'd have to reach out your hands and take the gift. You'd have to say, "Thank you." And after all of these things, would you then say, "This was not a free gift because I had to do all of these things in order to receive it"? Of course, you would not say that. Salvation is a free gift from God, but there are many things which we must do in order to receive that free gift. Here's the answer to the third vital question. What must I do to be saved? Well, I must believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God. John 8, verse 24. I must repent of my sins. Luke 13, verse 3. I must confess the name of Christ. Matthew 10, verse 32. I must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. The fourth vital question was asked by the Apostle Paul. I'm reading from Romans 4, verse 3. The Bible says, "For what does the Scripture say?" Many people don't care about what the Scriptures say. They think a 2,000-year-old book is so out of date, there's no possible way such a book could be relevant in our lives today. But this is wrong. The scriptures are still fresh and relevant today. In Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away," Jesus said. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful." Every person needs to ask what the New Testament scriptures say about church membership, Acts 2, verse 47. They need to ask, what does the New Testament say about women remaining silent in the assemblies of the church? 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. They need to ask, what does the Bible say about weekly communion? Acts 20 and verse 7. Or what does the Bible say about one loaf and one cup in the communion? 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. Or what does the Bible say about a cappella singing? Ephesians 5, verse 19. These and many other issues need to be investigated in the scriptures. One day, we will stand before God in judgment, and the books of the Bible will be open to judge us. If we have not been living by those instructions contained in the scriptures, we will find ourselves lost forever. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. Well, thanks for considering our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com, and there's no spaces between those words. There at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.